Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. If you're new to the show, welcome in. 8 to 10 o'clock every day, every morning here on Jacob Sports, covering the Philadelphia Eagles, giving you all the news, the latest insights, analysis, and inside information. I'm your host, Xander Krauss. That's my co-host, John McMullen. Make sure you guys give him a follow on X at JF McMullen and follow me on X at Real Xander. Johnny Mack, I want to get into the Eagles offense first. We'll kick N'Kobe Dean later on into hour number two. We'll talk about him later on in the show. Let's talk Eagles offense. Let's talk Jalen Hurts. Let's talk what the evolution of this offense has to look like moving forward, John.
We got to get to OTAs. Same as last year. You're going to hear a bunch of motion, a bunch of getting people involved, a bunch of all that. And we're going to see if it sticks. But you're going to hear about it. And you should hear about it. There's nothing wrong with trying to evolve the offense and trying to get more aspects involved and trying to get more creative and trying to get more modern. And everything everybody criticized the Eagles for last season, coming into last season, off 2023, the exact same thing. You're going to hear the exact same thing, trying to evolve that offense, trying to get more people involved, trying to get more creative. And then they're going to scale it back when the season starts and try to win games. And the best way, and that's what they should do, by the way. All of that is correct. But I think, you know, when they get back to the regular season, it's going to look familiar. Because it's looked familiar under Nick Sirianni, Shane Steichen, Brian Johnson, Kellen Moore, and Kevin Petula has been there the whole time. So it's going to look similar, is how I would bet. But there's no harm in trying to evolve, and that's what you should do. Yep. But Saquon Barkley ain't leaving. That offensive line ain't leaving. So I think it's with the exception of Mekhi Becton, but you get my point. Still going to be a really good offensive line. So they're going to lean on those guys.
No doubt about it. Johnny Mack brings up evolving the offense. You look at last season, everybody, the Super Bowl championship run. You had the number one overall defense in the NFL, and they played like it all the way through the finish. And you could argue the defense, you know, was the bigger catalyst for winning games last year than the offense was. John, in your estimation, does that have to change this year? Does the offense have to take on more of the burden of getting the team across the finish line this year?
Not necessarily. The defense is a bigger question because of all the losses, right. And you're going to have to see how they persevere through that. With the offense, look, we talked about it all the time. At times, it looked very ugly. We got into the Carolina game a little bit yesterday. I mean, that was probably the low point. Should have lost that game. That was probably the you can get away with that in the regular season. And then you have this theme of, and again, all the fans hate it, but that's fine, but the players were talking about it. And Jalen Hurts was talking about it. And he said, with all these cryptic comments about, is it going to be there when you need it? If you don't use it, do you lose it? That type of thing. And when it mattered most, the NFC Championship game, the Super Bowl, the offense delivered.
Right.
You know, the Super Bowl was probably Saquon Barkley's least effective performance of the year. And the other Part stepped up. And they scored, whatever, 55 points in the NFC Championship game. Now, I still think the defense was the story of the Super Bowl more than anything else. But, you know, I'm not sure. But if you're the coaches, I'm not sure you want to lean on that formula. That's their thought process. Like, great, it worked. But if we want to do it again and they want to do it again, do you really want to go down that path, or do you really want a more well-balanced, consistent week-to-week offense? Which I think the answer is obvious to the non-revisionist historians, but obviously because they won the Super Bowl, there's a lot of revisionist historians. Luckily, I don't think the Eagles believe that. I think they know they need to get better and more consistent in the passing game, and they will work to do that.
When you say evolve the offense, John, what exactly do you mean by that? Like, what part of the offense do you want to evolve? Is it as simple as the passing game because it was 29th? Or when you say that, just break it down for me. What does that mean?
Well, all the nonsense talk, and by the way, this is not me. That's mainly those the motion stuff, all the stuff you hold about Kellen Moore coming in about, well, you got to get new ideas. They don't use motion. They don't do this. They don't do that. They don't look creative. The route concepts, all the nonsense about that. That's not necessarily what they need to get better at. What they need to get better at is just the execution of the offense, which is far more boring. Like, I don't care if they run motion. You know, I don't care if they're trying to, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can do things. And a lot of quarterbacks, and I've explained this on the show before, like to do things a certain way. Phillip Rivers is a guy that Nick Sirianni loved from his time, from their short time in Indianapolis together. One of the smartest quarterbacks you're ever going to come across. He didn't like motion. He preferred to read defenses by manipulating the formation and seeing what they were in. That's what he liked. And that's sort of what Nick leaned to, because Jalen Hurts is a little bit similar from that aspect. He didn't like it. Other quarterbacks want motion, and they want to see what defenses are going to react to motion. So it's always dependent on who your talent is, what they like, what they're most comfortable with. But you can do it a bunch of different ways. There's no reason from the Eagles standpoint, when you have Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, who's still here, and we'll see if that continues. There's no reason you shouldn't have a top-tier passing offense. And I haven't. They're good. They're very good. But, you know, people say they have the best talent. And they may not. I mean, that might be – there's a couple teams in the conversation. But they're certainly top five when you talk about skill position players. Right. So why aren't they a top five offense, passing offense specifically? Obviously, they're a top five running offense. And I haven't been for two consecutive years, but they got really bad last year down at the bottom of the league. And that's ridiculous. Like, we're nitpicking. These are rich people. Probably they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
But their passing numbers were ridiculously poor.
Right, but are we in the case? And I know you're going to say it's revisionist. I know we talked about the passing. I'm not trying to be revisionist. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate and ask the question: are we being prom queeny? Like, because it doesn't look the way we want it to look, or it's not a pretty passing game? Like, they were a top 10 offense. They did win the Super. You know what I mean? Like, they did put up 145 points in the playoffs. I know the passing game could have been better. I mean, you can always get better, hype, you know, in theory, but. Is it a little too nitpicky? Is it a little too trying to be the prom queen, trying to be sexy on offense?
Well, because, you know, if you look at A.J. Brown, if you look at Darius Slay, if you look at Devontae Smith and some of their comments about winning the Super Bowl, and people are like, wow, they're not that jazzed up about winning the Super Bowl. And I always say, you know, with them, it's about the process. It's about, you know, they're always trying to get better, and that, you know, it's an accomplishment. Right. And it feels good in the moment. And then they go back to just the people they are, the competitors they are. They go back to, all right, what now? And they got to get better, and they got to get better. And that's their mindset. And that's a good thing.
I agree.
That's the coach's mindset. We got to get better. They had a top 10 offense in 2023, and everybody thought they sucked to the point that they had to fire the offensive coordinator.
I use that in my other segments all the time, and I reference you. They had the 23, the offense was top 10, and everybody was, you know, up in arms.
So what's the difference? They didn't win games. If they had the number one defense at Vic Fangio in 2023, they might have been just as good. So the goal is you want to get better at what you're not doing. You know, nobody's perfect, even the Super Bowl champions. And you want to get better. You always want to get better. And that's where they are on offense. That's where they were on offense last year. They want to get – there's no harm in saying there's room for improvement.
No, I don't think there is either.
Well, I'm not saying you, but there's a lot of fans who – bristle and get upset when you say dare point out that, hey, you know what, this passing game wasn't that good,
right?
And considering the talent they have, it should have been better. I don't know how anybody can argue that, especially because generally the people arguing about it said it was so shitty the year prior because they didn't win games because their defense was so shitty the year prior. And it was actually better from a passing standpoint. So if that's not good enough, why is this good enough? The answer is it isn't. They just
How much does Saquon Barkley tip the scales there? I mean, you know, because here's the thing I think is an uphill battle for that side of the conversation. And I don't disagree with it. I'm not saying you're wrong. But you add Saquon Barkley, who has a historic running season in the NFL. So naturally, the passing game regresses a little bit because you have a guy who's running at a historic pace. And then when push came to shove, when it was the most important time of the year in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, they were able to pass successfully. So even for the people who will say this isn't an issue, it'd be hard for me to brush them off and say, no, you're wrong, because – they're right. Last year, when we thought it was going to be an issue, it proved to not be an issue, and they were able to pass successfully when they needed to win a game. I think that's the other side of it. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong. Again, I think you can improve the passing game. But how much merit do you know? How much do you put into what I just said on the other side of it as well?
Not much, because that's the old correlation doesn't equal causation type thing. You know, for that to hold water, here's what people — and don't get me wrong, I'm sure a bunch of people believe this, but I guarantee you the Eagles don't believe this. You're not going into 2025 saying, all right, Saquon's going to run for 2,504 yards again.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, you know, you can either be realist, or is it possible? I mean, he's phenomenal. He might do 25-10. He might get better. But again, I'm playing the odds here. And even if he runs for 1,600 yards in the regular season, and if he make another Super Bowl run and he gets near 2,000 in a Super Bowl run, that would be historic. But it wouldn't be this year. So to lean on that and say, well, all right, you know, one of the big criticisms of Nick Sirianni coming off 2022 when they lost the Super Bowl was he did an interview where he said, you know, we just got to improve, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but he gave an interview and he said, we just have to improve what we do. We have to get better at what we do. And a lot of people killed him because of what went on the next year, and they didn't evolve offensively. And that became a big thing. And Jeffrey Lurie insisting he had to go outside the organization, yada, 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 to get new ideas and fresh ideas, and which looked awfully like the old ideas. So even that, and I don't necessarily believe Nick was wrong, but you have to understand you're in a public-facing industry and right. You have to spin things the proper way. And when you lose in the first round of the playoffs, you have to spin things a little bit differently than if you win the Super Bowl. So they have the luxury of just sitting under the radar because everybody's going to trust them. But I think they're smart enough to understand they need to get better in the passing game. And they'll be working the entire offseason. I said that before they won the Super Bowl. They're gonna go back to what they did last offseason.
Right. They're gonna try and improve the passing game. But here's the thing. I mean, I think we can all agree that if you're playing the odds, it's very unlikely that Saquon has 2,500 yards again. As much as we all love Saquon, statistically speaking, the chances are slim of him doing that again. But John, again, the rebuttal would be the times that happened last year, the times when Saquon was taken out of the game. Granted, there were few of them. There weren't that many, so the sample size isn't the biggest in the world. But the team did pass the ball well. I go to that Pittsburgh game. You know, Jalen threw the ball all over the yard there. Saquon only had 65 yards, I think, in that game. Commanders NFC title game, you know, Super Bowl. So if we're saying, okay, Saquon has a lesser year this year, let's say he gets 1,700 yards, which is still an incredible season, by the way. Okay, well, the offense last year made up for the difference when he wasn't Superman. Why would they not do it again moving forward?
Well, I think you're ignoring all the games where they performed poorly in the passing game and managed to persevere because of the defense, or even if it wasn't Saquon or other aspects of the team. So the point is only, and that's why I brought up AJ Devontae in there, Darius Slay, oh, he's going to kill me, and their personal sort of mindsets. You're trying to get better because of the bad games, not the good games.
Right.
I always say with scouting, we're talking about the draft. We're going to talk about the draft. Don't look at the freaking highlights. Look at the bad plays and figure out, all right, what happened? Can he correct this? Don't look at the highlights. Look at the Carolina game. Look at some of the poor passing performances, and there were a shitload of them that people forget because winning cures everything. That's what you want to improve.
I mean, receivers want their numbers, and I'm not criticizing them for that. I love AJ. I love Devontae. I don't have a problem with them wanting to be better, but at the end of the day, they're going to have a lens that they wear that is filtered through wanting more yards, wanting more receptions.
I'm not worried about what AJ and Devontae say.
That doesn't
mean
it's right for the team, right for the team.
No, getting better offensively is right for the team. I'm not talking about numbers. The only numbers that count for AJ Brown, the only real numbers that count for AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, they already have, and that's their bank account. So they're getting paid.
That's true.
So they're happy from that standpoint. Now, all wide receivers, yes, want the football. And if you had a wide receiver that doesn't want the football, you don't want that wide receiver. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the efficacy of the passing game, which, again, if you want to look at traditional numbers, whatever it was, 29th. If you want to look at advanced numbers, it wasn't good. Nick Sirianni constantly says you never want to be bottom five in anything in the NFL.
Yeah, I think we can all agree to that as Eagles fans. I mean, well, come on, then,
I think a lot of people don't because they say that. And again, the path is, and maybe it is that Jalen Hurts just steps up in big situations because I know people like that narrative. But again, if you're a coach, you really want to count on that. Like you're showing up in your office, you're kicking off your shoes and you're saying, well, this guy's going to show up at big spots. So I just got to get to a big spot. No, you want to improve. You want to try to get better. And by the way, that's not the case. They're trying to get better every day. I'm just saying it's common sense. They want to get better in the passing game. I wonder why everybody struggles with that. Like, why wouldn't you want them to get better in the passing game? I guess I don't even understand it. Like, why do you want to be bottom five?
There's a line of thinking that because we're so good in the running game. That's one of the reasons we're not as good in the passing game. And people in Philly like to run the ball. They want to be the bully. They like being the physical team. And that's what we've established as an identity now as a football team. And not only did they establish that identity, but that identity brought the city its second Super Bowl in franchise history. And now fans are going to cling to that even more. And I can't really knock them for
it. Well, I don't think it's knocking them to point out that it's not, again, it's not something you can count on from year to year. You're not going to have, that was literally the greatest rushing season in NFL history. That is the definition.
You're not getting every year.
That is the definition of an outlier. All right. Could in theory, is it possible it could happen again? Of course, anything's possible. Again, if you're playing the odds,
it's not.
They've been playing this game for a long time. The Eagles have been around since 1933. I mean, obviously they play more games and all that factors into it. And it, you know, but so just take it down to the modern generation, 25 years since Terrell Davis did it, quarter century. You had a quarter century gap between Terrell Davis and Saquon Barkley. And you think you're going to have a 1 year gap between that season? I don't like those odds.
I don't disagree with you. What was our running team, running game ranked when we had Miles Sanders and then DeAndre Swift? We were still top five, weren't we?
Oh, they were, yeah, they were tremendous, but you know. I don't know if they were top five. I'd have to look it up, but they were always very effective. Nobody ran for more 200-yard games in the Nick Sirianni era.
Yeah, what was the season? You'll remember this. What was the season? It might have been 22. I wasn't on the air for this season, but there was one season we led the NFL in rushing yards per game, and we didn't have a running back that ran over 100 yards in the game or something like that. It was some crazy stat like that.
I don't recall it, but yeah, I mean, ever since this offensive line, they've always been effective running the ball. It's just levels of effectiveness. And as I point out, before Saquon ever showed up in the Sirianni era, they had more 200-yard rushing games than any team in the NFL. I mean, and it's not about Nick. It's about the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line is, again, Miles made the Pro Bowl. Miles isn't a Pro Bowl running back, but he made the Pro Bowl. DeAndre made the Pro Bowl. Not a Pro Bowl running back. They're good backs, but they made the Pro Bowl. And now you got a legitimate superstar back behind that offensive line, and you saw what happened. Now you're still going to have that legitimate top-tier back behind that top-five offensive line. And you know, we'll see how they – I do think Becton was a perfect fit. I do think they're going to miss him. I do think there was something to the power he brought inside and some of that bully ball that you were talking about. I do think he's going to be more difficult to replace than people think, so it won't be quite as good. And all of this sort of factors in. Still going to be really good, but it's not going to be historically good. Odds are.
John, we're talking about the offense here, and we're leaving one big name we haven't mentioned much in this discussion, and that's quarterback Jalen Hurts. What's next for Jalen Hurts in this offense, John?
Same thing. Got to get better. Got to get better. Everybody's got to get better. Tom Brady's got to get better. You know, and the more you play, the more experience, the more comfortable you feel, the more you can manipulate things at the line of scrimmage. And that should continue to progress. It'd be nice to see him get more people involved, spread the football out a little bit more. That would, I think, make things more difficult for the defense. So there's plenty of ways to improve, and that's everybody, you know. From the Elite Four, as they say, on down, that's everybody. And Jalen's no different. People get very butthurt in this town when people dare to mention that there's room for improvement. And he'd be the first one to tell you. Nobody's perfect.
Get over that. I mean, it's one thing to not want to be will not want your team to be disrespected, but look, everybody wants to improve, especially people that are driven in life. Everybody wants to get better, regardless of what pinnacle you reach. So I think we should all be able to come to the conclusion that if you went and talked to Jalen Hurts and said, "Hey, Jalen, what are you doing this offseason?" He would say, "I'm trying to get better. I'm working on my game. I'm working on this." I mean, he was already training out with his family at Channelview in Texas. So he's going to be doing that. Everybody's got to move on from that, that nobody has to get better. But
yeah, I don't get it. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that, because I think people only hear the negative, I think, one of the things I harped on after the 2023 season is that the history of Jalen Hurts is he's not going to turn the football over. He's going to take care of the football.
And that's a good thing. His turnover rate is really good.
Yeah. And it was really good before 2023, and it regressed back to the mean.
Yep.
As I predicted it would.
Yes, you did.
Now, I think he was too hyper-focused on it, and that's part of the reason it was so low. So I think he's got to get back to, it's a fine line. You got to get back to trusting yourself. And,
right. Protecting the ball versus taking chances. Exactly. How do you walk that line?
So I think he's got to get better with that. But he's a very good quarterback. And he was a very good quarterback before the Super Bowl. And he's a very good quarterback after the Super Bowl. And he's going to be a very good quarterback on the 2025 season starts. But I'm not going to lie to the people and say he's in that top four group. He's not in that top four group. Not wrong with it. It's very difficult to get that top four group. He's a very good player, but there's room for improvement. Anybody who doesn't see that is, you're just drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, well, I'm not drinking Kool-Aid, and I think he's amongst those top four. I think he's in that top five. I'm with Devontae. Make a top five, put him in there, because I don't think talent is the only thing that matters in the NFL. I don't think talent is the only thing
those guys aren't in the top four because of just talent. I mean, and everybody's definition of talent is different. A lot of people just boil it down to athleticism as talent. Particularly at that position, processing is probably way more important than anything else. And being able to get people in being able to line up your offense and get them in the correct situation, as Tom Brady explains. And that's how Tom and Peyton graded themselves. Not about wins, not about losses, not even about touchdowns, or is about on every play, did you put your team in the best position to succeed? Not even about succeeding, because sometimes the right guard might miss a block. Sometimes somebody might drop it. But did you as a quarterback put your offense in the best position to succeed? Is how Tom explained it. That's how, the great ones define themselves.
For his first year, calling coverages, I think he's pretty good at that.
If you want to talk about just pure talent, I don't know if Jaden Daniels, he's in there. He's right there, but he's not in the top four. Caleb Williams might be ahead of all of them. Just pure spectacular talent. Athleticism, arm talent. He's not even the top half of NFL quarterbacks. Could he get there? We'll see. With Ben Johnson, he's going to have to show up. Trevor Lawrence, just spectacular talent. He's not in the top four, not even close.
So winning does nothing for you when it comes to quarterback discussions.
I tell you all the time, quarterback evaluation is broken. Because you can be Matthew Stafford's a best example of this. I used to have this argument with Jody all the time. He sucks. I said, People in the NFL would disagree with you. He's on a very bad team, a very bad organization, a very bad situation for a lot of years. And he elevated everybody around him and maximized what he had. And that's why he was a great quarterback. And when he got to a situation, even though he's older in his career, where he had a chance to win, he won. And now people say he's great. He was better in Detroit. Way better. I bring this up with John Elway all the time. John Elway was great when he was losing Super Bowls. He was below average when he was winning Super Bowls. But he won Super Bowls late in his career because of Terrell Davis. And he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But the point is, Ben Roethlisberger had one of the worst Super Bowls ever. But he won. He won the game. And that's lost in history, how poorly he played, because he won the game. Yeah, I, you know, by winning, I assume you mean winning Super Bowls. And no, well, that no, doesn't
but,
mean
but I don't just mean that. That's obviously a part of it. But John Hurts has been a starter for 4 years, dude.
Yeah, the
two
the
Super Bowl appearances. Well, arguably two Super Bowl MVP performances.
First of all,
I won one of them in four years. Again, I'm not saying he doesn't have a great team around him. I'm not saying the other things don't exist, but I do think he deserves some credit for that. I know he has a great team. The Lions had a great team. I didn't see them in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think he deserves a little bit more credit for going to two Super Bowls in his first 4 years as a starter in the NFL and winning one of them. Like, I don't know, again, that's the scales for me.
I didn't disrespect Jalen Hurts.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying that part of it goes into the discussion.
If you would have let me finish, I would say the body of work, the fact that he wins consistently from week to week is more important for me than he won the Super Bowl, if you would have let me finish. The body of the work, I keep saying he was a great quarterback. He was a really good quarterback before the Super Bowl. He's a really good quarterback after the Super Bowl. Again, I can't control what people hear, what people perceive. Is he the top four? No, he's not the top four. Is he really good? Yes, he's really good. If that's disrespect, I would tell all those people to look in the mirror and get over it. It's not disrespect.
Well, they could say the same thing back to you. It's an opinion. Your opinion is that he's not top four. My opinion is that he is top four. I mean,
that's fine. But how many coaches do you talk to? How many personnel people do you talk to? How many scouts do you talk to?
Yeah, but that's not a perfect formula, because if scouts or personnel people knew everything, then they would be paid higher than quarterbacks, and you would get the best scouts and personnel guys.
I'm not saying they do anything.
And you would win the Super Bowl
every year. I'm not saying anything, but people say, you know, I don't have the hubris to think I know more than they do. That doesn't mean they're always right. They're human beings. Everybody's always right. But if you get a group together, like, you're talking about Lamar Jackson, you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, you're talking about Joe Burrow, you're talking about Josh Allen. If you ask those guys who do it as a profession, and for some reason people have focused on Joe Burrow because Cincinnati didn't have a good season. And even that's the worst, because he almost won MVP with a bad football team. Yeah, he deserves
a lot of credit for leading them to that team.
There is literally, and I never say nobody, because there could always be one outlier, but I don't even think there could be one outlier. There is nobody who will tell you that Jalen Hurts is better than Joe Burrow in the industry. There just isn't. I mean, the Eagles wouldn't even tell you that. I don't know why that upsets people, but it upsets so many people. I mean, it's not close. It's not disrespect. There's always, that's like saying, I don't know, LeBron James in his career, whoever was the third best player of the world or the fourth best, wasn't LeBron James. All right. Nobody's got any problem with that. All right. I mean, he doesn't belong in the conversation.
The problem with this is that if I rebuttal back, it sounds like I'm saying Joe and Josh and Lamar aren't great. I think they're great. I think Jalen is great, as great. I really do. Nothing in my mind.
That's fine. But you don't think any of that has to do with you being an Eagles fan?
Well, of course it does. I've been a Jalen Hurts fan my whole life. I mean, but again, I've said it before on the show. Opinions are overrated. At some point, resume and what you've done speaks louder. Like, let me use an example. And I don't know this, so you have to educate me.
I can't win this argument because it's broken. It's not
an argument, John. Relax. I'm just giving you my opinion.
It's broken. The evaluation is broken.
In your opinion. Debate,
whatever you want to call it, the evaluation is broken. There are 46 players on that field. And everybody boils it down to quarterback versus quarterback. How many times I can say Myles Garrett's better than Josh Sweat? Of course. I could say so-and-so is better than so-and-so.
But those positions aren't evaluated like quarterback for a reason.
Yeah, but those positions aren't. The evaluation isn't broken. It's logical. It's broken at quarterback because of the impact of the position and because people put so much focus on the position. Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni said this, and by the way, he was defending Jalen Hurts, and he was 1,000% right. When people say, well, he needs a good team around him to win. Well, so does Buck and Tom Brady. Nobody has won a Super Bowl without a good team around them. It is broken. Man. The evaluation of the quarterback position is broken. It is baked in. You cannot win a Super Bowl in the NFL if you don't have a good team around you. A quarterback cannot win a Super Bowl by himself, from Tom Brady or whoever you think the best of all time is on down.
Well, just use the top four that we just talked about, the proclaimed top four. Only one of them have a Super Bowl. It's obvious that you need a good team around them. But my problem with that discussion is people use that against Hurts. I'm not saying you, but people out there use that against him. Oh, he has a good team, so he's not elite. But meanwhile, the guys who are elite.
I can't debate for other people. I don't care what other people say or think or perceive to say, or people perceive them of disrespecting Jalen Hurts. I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for any of these mystical people. I don't even know who they are. Like, how can I defend what so-and-so says about Jalen Hurts? I can defend what I say about Jalen Hurts. But I don't care what other people say about Jalen Hurts or about people's perceptions of what people think about Jalen Hurts.
All right. I mean, if you're going to go down that road, I don't care about what someone tweets at you, but we talk about it on the show. I mean, come on, John.
Well, give me a name and I'll rip them. Give me
I want to ask you a question because you'd know more about this than me. In 2004, 2005, earlier in Tom Brady's career, and I know Tom Brady's not a good example, but I'm for the sake of the conversation, I'm using it. Early in his career, who were the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and was he viewed as a best quarterback in the NFL draft?
He was a 6th-round pick. Now, when Drew Bledsoe got hurt. I mean, Tom came in and had the tremendous run, and people thought Drew Bledsoe would be back as the starting quarterback. Right. No, of course not. Of course not. You know, just, you know, constant success and playing at a high level and getting his team in the proper positions, as I said. You know, at some point, it becomes undeniable. But you talk about, you know, Tom had far more to overcome than Jalen as a 6th-round pick. Nobody believed in Tom Brady. Nobody. Nobody.
But isn't the trajectory similar in that he was a 6th-round pick? Everybody looked at Bledsoe and Breeze and Peyton and Ben and all these other dudes that were in the league and said, oh, they have the talent. Those are the top five guys. It's not Tom. It wasn't until later, when Tom accumulated all the wins. Now, granted, he had great stats and everything. Tom was uber talented, but It wasn't until he accumulated all those accolades that everybody started saying, oh, that's the best player in the world. That's the best
quarterback. Again, you're back to everybody. I don't care about everybody. But I've said it pretty consistently to what defined Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, who I think are the two best quarterbacks of the modern generation, shall we say. Basically this century are the two best quarterbacks. And I said what defined them is, you know, at some point, and I say the same thing with Jalen Hurts. Like Jalen Hurts' overall record is way more impressive to me than his winning the Super Bowl. Like the consistency of week to week and the ability to win games from week to week. I say it constantly. That's what defined Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They went into a season, New England and Indianapolis. Like I said, the worst that they went into every single season. All right, 10 wins is our low watermark. How good are we going to be from 10 wins? They're going to win double digits. And then they go, are they going to get to 12? Are they going to get to 13? Are they going to get to 14? Are they going to get to 15? It's back when they played 16. In the case of New England, 1 year, 16-0. 1 year, 16-0. The best of all the Patriots teams, by the way. Didn't win the Super Bowl, but the best of all the Patriots teams, 16-0. So to me, that week-to-week consistency, I was just having this discussion with Ed Kratz about the Bills, and I've said this many times, and people look at me like I'm crazy. And they did a 30-for-30 on the Bills that never won the Super Bowl. The great Bills teams with Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas that made four consecutive Super Bowls. And to me, that's more impressive than the one-offs of somebody getting up, winning a Super Bowl, then going back like the Giants with Eli Manning, then going back, they're 9-7, they get hot, they win a Super Bowl, and they go back to being a good team but not a great team. To me, that's much more impressive. And everybody goes, oh, that's dumb, that's stupid, it's all about winning the Super Bowl. Well, I'd say this, we're at Super Bowl, what we're 59, so 59, over 59 Super Bowls, there's one team
that's going to
four straight Super Bowls.
I think you are hearing you right on that one, because you're definitely right. It's more impressive where I think you're wrong, or you didn't say this, but it's probably not more impactful or meaningful.
No, it's not
impactful. In the test of talent. But you're right, it's very impressive to go to four straight Super Bowls.
There's only one team that's done it.
Yeah, I hear you on that one for sure. But I'd rather win the Super Bowl, but I understand why you're saying it's impressive to go to four.
Yeah. So that to me is, and that's where I think, like nobody, again, you can go to every position. I've said this numerous times. You can go to every position and everybody evaluates it correctly. Nobody cares that Josh Sweat won a Super Bowl. Nobody cares that Milton Williams won a Super Bowl. They only care that a quarterback won the Super Bowl. It's not Jalen's fault. It's been this way forever. It's not Eagles fans. It's every fan. It's been this way forever. Dan Marino. Oh, there's a group of people that think Dan Marino stinks because he never won a Super Bowl. That just that he can't win the big one. It's broken. No other position. No other position. You know, people evaluate it the correct way. I'm not saying there aren't lunatics in every discussion, but for the most part, and I'm talking about people in football, evaluate it the correct way. Well, Myles Garrett's great. Yeah, he's on a bad team, a bad organization. There's good players on Carolina. There's good players. There's really good players on the Giants. There's really, really, really good players on every NFL team, even the bad ones. And nobody has a problem pointing that out because they understand every other position. Quarterback, because of the impact, because it's the highest profile position, for whatever reason, everybody wants to boil it down to quarterback versus quarterback. I've said it pretty consistently. Jalen played better, actually, in the Super Bowl he lost than he won.
I think that's fair. That was the best game I've ever seen him play, that 22 Super Bowl.
Not that he played poorly in either. He played great at both.
He played unreal in that 22.
Yeah, he played better in the first one. And if you look at 2023, he individually, I think, played better than he did in 2024. And 2022 was his best season, I believe. And I believe last season, other than he started for four seasons. If you wanted to put him in order, I would go 2022, just individual performance, 2023, 2024, 2021, when he was a first-year starter. Was rightfully, probably his worst season as an individual. But that's how I'd rank them. 2022, 2023.
I'd go 24 before 3, just 20, go to the turnovers.
2024, yeah, I know most people go to turn, but I argue he had more to do. He had to lift the team up. I think he was better. 2024, 2021 would be how I would rank his individual seasons. And by the way, he's a hell of a quarterback, and none of that is disrespectful. So people take it as disrespectful, that's on them.
No, that's fine. But the one thing I want to get this point out, because I didn't bring up Brady for some crazy reason. I think early in Brady's career, people probably said he's not the best quarterback in the NFL. Then he gets a couple of rings and people put him at the top. Winning tipped the scales a little bit. Now, he had talent. I'm not saying he didn't have talent. Go to Patrick Mahomes. John, best quarterback in the NFL. Three rings, I get it. If he had no rings, if he has none, let's just say for a second, Patrick Mahomes had zero rings. Would you take him before Lamar, Josh, or Joe?
Don't take him before Joe. I think Joe's one, Lamar's two right now.
Over Mahomes. But yeah, because Mahomes is one, he's widely regarded as the best quarterback in the NFL. So winning is always going to tip the scales. Now, you individually cannot like that. But it's going to, and it seems to have.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. I literally am not arguing that. I'm arguing that it shouldn't be that way. I know how it works. I know how it works. I'm not saying it doesn't work that way. I'm saying it's broken. I'm saying people evaluating that is broken. Evaluating things that way is broken. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not saying they don't do it.
There has to be some point where we reach an objective truth, like we might hate the system, but if the system is what quantifies a Hall of Famer or something like that, then we have to respect it.
No, if it's wrong, no.
Okay. Well, I mean, people are mad at
the government. It's like, well, that's a perfect example because a majority agrees on something doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's right. In a lot of ways, it's wrong because generally people want to be in a group and they want to, in far bigger political discussions, they want to be connected. They want to be in a group and they make poor decisions because of it. And they don't make logical decisions because of it. And far more important discussions than this. So that holds no weight to me. Personally, but when you talk about less important discussions like evaluating quarterback play, yeah, I'm very comfortable in saying it's broken. It's been broken for 50 years. It's never going to be fixed. People are going to overweight Super Bowl championships. I have no issue with it. I know where it is.
All right, that's fine.
But I can point out it's illogical when they look at every other position correctly, and then they change it for one position. That's illogical to me.
So is Tom Brady not the GOAT for you?
I mean, he's in the conversation. I always say, if you're in the conversation, then
that's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah, I get it.
If you're top five, you could be Tom or Peyton or Tom or Joe Montana. If you're in the conversation, you're good enough. LeBron or Michael, LeBron, Will, blah, blah. You're in the conversation. It's good enough. But then you just it's basically what's your favorite flavor. But, you know, if you ask me who the best quarterback of all time is, I probably say Joe Montana, because I think it was more difficult to play the position.
Yeah, but that's just hard to argue against Joe Montana.
But that's just, I think it was more difficult to play the position. So to me, it's more impressive. I think it's easier for quarterbacks now.
All right. So there's going to be some subjectivity. I'll take Tom as the GOAT because of all those rings, but I get you. I hear you. All right, Johnny Mac, good discussion on the Eagles offense, on the progression of what that offense is going to look like, or what it could look like, should look like moving on. We'll continue to talk about that all through the offseason and see, you know, what the Eagles moves they make at the, on the offensive side of the ball. Now you got to get a new guard. Maybe he's already in house. Maybe it's Kenyon Green. Maybe it's Tyler Steen. We'll continue to kick that around all offseason long. John, we'll get the one commercial break. When we come back, we'll recap the final, the little piece of news for those who missed it at the start of the show today. Eagles signed a swing tackle in Kendall Lamb. We did discuss that at the start of the show. And then we're going to talk a little N'Kobe Dean. I got to talk to you about N'Kobe Dean and what his future looks like, because I think it's bleak just because of the timing of the injury. I know people might not want to hear that, but that's my thought process. Maybe John can set the record straight on that. So we'll do all that next on Birds 365. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Hit that like button. We'll be right back.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.